The evening news editors obviously thought our next feature was so good that they published it twice, on Saturday and Monday. They changed the headline but kept the same photo and text. It is another piece by Keith Skipper, remembering with guilt about his participation in Coronation Day activities. Lynette Edwards will read Keith's confessions.
June soon has me bursting out all over in a rash of boyhood guilt. It all stems from an egg and spoon race on Lou Dack's buttercup-decked meadow, my homemade coronation stakes of 1953. I cheated with thumb firmly down on egg for all but the final few yards of our village charge for a shiny new sixpence. They cheered me over the line. I fell over deliberately in the sack race. That coin became a lead weight in my pocket for the rest of the summer. I couldn't let go of the feeling that I'd won by foul means. For all I know, others may have employed equally shadowy tactics or even smuggled chewing gum beneath the shell. But I had triumphed, and it wasn't fair. That sixpence glinted at me accusingly as I placed it alongside my coronation, New Testament and mug presented in a lather of exciting ceremonials at our village school. "Do no sinful actions, speak no angry words," rang out the assembly anthem, and I was sorely tempted to take the first slice of that advice rather personally. Every minor diversion from the straight and narrow path had me racked with remorse as I cultivated a glowing reputation for being magnanimous in defeat and ultra-modest in not coming last. The parish coronation and fancy dress contest could have been a painful affair had I not been anxious to make amends for underhand scheming on Lou Dack's meadow. I made a good jockey in orange and purple silks, and judges had to be impressed by a high-pitched whinny, even-paced canter and delicate use of whip. I was ready with all the salient details of Gordon Richards' first Derby win on Pinzer. I cannot recall from where Mother obtained such material luxuries to deck me out for this big showpiece in the old aerodrome Nissen hut serving as our village hall. I was furlongs ahead of the rest of the field when it came to living the part, right down to smacking my backside and calling out "Giddy up!" when we were invited to parade. I finished a creditable third behind a curtsying Snow White and all of a quiver Robin Hood. Jack, with an apology for a beanstalk made out of school milk bottle tops and a grizzly bear who'd wet himself while waiting to roar, followed me on a lap of honour. There were no stewards' inquiry, although my best mates simply couldn't understand why I hadn't romped into the winner's enclosure. I let them into a little secret. The chief adjudicator, a parish worthy, scarcely renowned for his sense of humour, had tried to engage all contestants in a gentle question-and-answer session. Most inquiries prompted quivering lips and shakes of the head. I sensed extra marks were there for the taking with a few bold replies. "Ah, the sport of kings, and in which race on the card do we find you, young man?" "In the 330, the human race." "That's not quite what I meant, but we'll let that pass. What's the name of your mount?" "Dusty Carpet." "Dusty Carpet? Why do you call him Dusty Carpet?" "Because he'll take a lot of beating." He didn't pose any more questions. The look on his face suggested I'd be lucky to finish the course in triumph. Much of the guilt I'd carried like extra weight since the egg and spoon stakes went into that daring repartee. It may have been wasted on the chief adjudicator, but he helped me along the rocky road to redemption. I congratulated Snow White and Robin Hood, forgoing any references to funny little men or merry outlaws, and I commiserated with Jack, who'd thrown away his pathetic beanstalk and a very damp grizzly bear, anxious to get back to his lair. Time now for the coronation refreshments to crown a very special village day. There were other opportunities to do penance that summer. I owned up to wrecking our sword dance in the school playground, even though two other boys had been equally as clumsy with their thrusts into the middle. I accepted a highly debatable LBW decision without some grouse on the Orchard Test Match arena after scoring 93 runs and preparing myself mentally for the first century of a wildly fluctuating career. I smiled benevolently when Snow White scored higher marks than me for a composition about how we celebrated the coronation. I may have dropped a few for suggesting patches of wet weather on the big day had led to some of us changing a line in the national anthem into "Long to rain over us." I even made the chief adjudicator feel good at not pushing my case for top honours at the fancy dress handicap. We came face to face again in the village shop 2 weeks later. "Ah, the little jockey who came home third," he reminded me and a cluster of other customers. "And what's the latest from the course, young man? Water Tap is still running."
Thank you, Lynette.